Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Kelly Hare. I'd like to welcome you all for calling in to Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus Ministries Radio Episode 82. Those who will listen to this program later or download it, I welcome you as well. And my friends, today we're going to be studying the Book of Romans, Chapter 6. I do believe this is a good one because I felt the Lord, when I was looking through what scriptures should I be studying today, I felt the Lord telling me to study this one. So we're going to be studying this one today. So my friends, before I begin, let us all pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for today. We pray, Lord, that you give your messenger the words to say that will come from your mouth, not mine, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And my friends, I'd like to welcome my friends in Canada, Belize, Saudi Arabia, and South Africa, and even Norway for tuning in to listening. I welcome you all, my friends, for listening to this program. And for you who are living close by to the Litchfield, Kentucky area, or you may not, you may be traveling someplace and listening to this program. On the 29th on Saturday, come to Litchfield and come to the Litchfield Amphitheater because there's going to be free food, good music, and plenty of ice cones and even face painting. And we're going to hear from this fabulous evangelist who's going to be preaching on this day. We're having a great big revival right there. I would say it's going to be a great revival like you heard if you listened to or you read in the Book of Acts where Peter gave one of the best sermons he did, that this evangelist is going to be filled with the same Holy Spirit Peter was, and she's going to evangelize. Miss Heather Hodges, she's going to be out there evangelizing. So come and hear our little evangelist there and be filled up with the Lord. And if you happen to not know the Lord, come anyway. If you want to really understand who the Lord is, this might be the time the Lord's telling you to come and make a decision. And as you come and listen to Miss Heather Hodges, you might feel the Holy Spirit. You might understand and accept Jesus Christ in your life and receive His Holy Spirit. All right, my friends, so let us all begin now on chapter 6 from the Book of Romans. All right. What then shall we say? Shall we persist in sin that grace may abound? Of course not. How can we who died into sin yet live in it? Are you unaware that we were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death, we were indeed buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too live in the newness of life. Remember, on Monday, I kept on referring to this, that when we are baptized, we're actually dying our old selves with Christ. Basically, we too are going. We are too dying. Our old self is no more. When we come out of that water, all of a sudden, we are a new creature in Christ. We are a new person in Jesus Christ. We're not that old person we once were. And guess what? When you're in the Lamb's Book of Life, the story in the book that the Lord has about you is the day you gave your heart to Jesus by being baptized by him, ties to the Holy Spirit when you're in that water and you come out a new person, a new creature in Christ. Now, again, as I said before, I'm not talking about just saying someone on their deathbed and receives Christ. Yes, I would say they were baptized through the Holy Spirit and not by the water. You are correct. They are baptized. I'm talking about you who are healthy, who have plenty of time to make your choices. but you better make it soon because you might not get that deathbed confession. Your death may happen with a snap of a finger, and you're gone. Where is your soul going to be? Is it going to be with the Heavenly Father, or is it going to be separated from Him through the rest of your life in a place called hell, which He originally created for the devil and his demons? Okay? So you want to have that reception, that received through Christ. And that's why you are a new creature when you are baptized in Christ. You don't do the same things that separated you before from Jesus. Now you are a new creature. You're now walking with Jesus. You are now like Jesus. You are now a new creature. And guess what? You keep on growing in Christ because Christianity isn't a place where we stay there like a big rock and we don't do anything. We keep on growing in Christ, blessing us. We keep on reading the Scriptures because by studying the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit is revealing things that our Heavenly Father wants you and I to know about, to live through, and understand the blessings and the gifts He wishes to give you and I. All right, let's continue on. For if we have grown into union with Him through a death like His, we also shall be united with Him in the resurrection. And that's the whole point of us being resurrected. No, our bodies did not die when we were baptized, but our souls did. We came up a new creature when we came out of the water because we received His Holy Spirit. We know that our old self was crucified with Him so that our sinful body away with, that we might no longer be slavery to sin. For a dead person has been absolved from sin. If then we have died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with Him. So again, Paul is saying that, again, through the baptism, we did die with Christ because we accepted Him as our Lord and Savior. When we come out of that water, we are a part of Him. We are alive with Him then. Like Christ's resurrection was spiritual and His body, but ours is just our spiritual right now. We won't have the physical resurrection till later on when the Lord reclaims His church and puts His kingdom upon the earth. But for now, we have our spiritual resurrection. And guess what, my friend? You don't have to wait to die to get to heaven. Because like Jesus said when He was upon this earth, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And remember, when He told His followers what to do, preaching the message, why did He tell His followers to do that? He tells you and I to do that to this day. Why did He do that? Because we're supposed to continue the ministry He started upon this earth. And we are now new spiritual creatures in Him. And being that spiritual creatures, we continue His ministry that is still upon this earth. And guess what? With the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven is with us now. When you accept Christ as your Heavenly Father, you're already in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is with you because wherever God goes, there is the kingdom of heaven because He made the kingdom of heaven. Without the Lord being in the kingdom of heaven would be nothing. But with the Lord in it, it is something. And we could have the kingdom of heaven right now upon the earth in your own life, in your own fellowship within your church, or with your friends who are fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. You are experiencing what it's like to be physically in the kingdom of heaven, but right now, we're in the kingdom of heaven right now, spiritually, I should say, right now upon this earth, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And right now, we are just like colonists, planting seeds around the world, colonizing for the kingdom of heaven, colonizing for God's people to live upon this earth. Amen. We know that Christ raised from the dead dies no more. Death no longer has power over Him. As to His death, He died to sin once and for all to His life. He lives for God. Consequently, you too may think of yourselves as being dead to sin, and liveth for God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, sin must not reign over your mortal bodies, so that you obey their desires. And do not present the parts of your bodies to sin as weapons for wickedness. Present yourself to God, raised from the dead in life, and parts of your body to God as weapons for righteousness. For sin is not to have any power over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. So you're under grace now. Sin has no power over you. No more. No more are you a slave to sin. The fact of it is, people who have tried to stop their own sinful behaviors in the past cannot really do it alone, can they? They always fall back to that old way of life. But if you walk with Christ and you have the Holy Spirit within you, you're not going to fall back. You shouldn't fall back. Why would you want to fall back? Why would you want to go back to the same thing that made you miserable? Think about it. You husbands out there who may have had a drug or alcoholic problem, and you remember how it was like. You remember saying things to your wife and your children and may have hit them and regretted it later after you sobered up and wished you could say you were sorry, but your pride prevented you from saying it. But when you came to Christ, you became the husband God wanted you to be. You became a father whom God wanted you to be. So why would you want to go back to the same old life that made you miserable, that tore your family up in the first place? The question is, you wouldn't want to go back there. And I know the enemy is trying to convince you that that's a good idea, but remember, Paul also said, wear the full armor of God. And the reason why he said that, because Satan will be out there trying to tempt you to fall. Because before that, he didn't have to tempt you to fall because you were living in the world. He could care less about what you did. And now you became his enemy because you're interfering with his kingdom. Because you're telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And every time someone comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, interferes with his kingdom because he wants God absolved from this world. He wants no one to know who God is. He wants everyone to fall for his same faith that he is going to be falling in. And he wants to drag as many souls down as he can. And he wants to drag your soul down as well. He wants you to recant, saying that you do not believe in Christ. And he wants you to give up hope. That's why we all need to pray for each other as Christians. It's sad when you have churches out there today who fight over power within the church and gossip about each other. When they start doing that, they're not doing the will of God. They're doing the will of who their Lord is. That is the devil. We all know the common gossip in the church. He or she could be anyone in your church. But that person should be held accountable and stop gossiping about people and stop saying falsehoods about people. Rather, they should be encouraged to pray for people and help them out and mentor them through the Lord Jesus Christ. Gossiping is not the answer. And you know, too, with the watered-down doctrine that's happening today within the church, you find people thinking they could steal money from the church if the church's money is their personal money. Well, don't you know you're stealing from God? The reason why you're being caught is God's not going to protect you. If you're stealing from him, you will be in trouble with the law. And that's a fact. So, what do you do? Well, you need to, if you fall into this trap, you need to go back and ask the Lord for your forgiveness, as David had done in the Old Testament. And don't do that same sin no more. Christ died for us not to be people that continue on with our sins. He died for us so we could be free from them and live according to his will. Not our will, but his will. That was the whole purpose of his death and later on his resurrection, so you and I could be free from what is holding us back from the Lord. We're no longer thieves. We're no longer drunkards. We're no longer selfish people. We're no longer liars. We're now children of God, and as children of God, we present ourselves as children of God. Be humble in your walk and be graceful in your walk. And when our brother and sister falls from from grace. We should try to bring them back. We shouldn't be like the world and jump on them and kick them down and say, I knew they weren't really saved, and beat them up like the world does. Let's try to bring them back. Unless they reject the Lord altogether, if they reject the Lord altogether, then that is their choice then, and we leave them alone. But if they want us to help them, let's bring them back. Let's not bring up their past and what they did. They know what they did was wrong, and they're sorry for what they did to God. So if the Lord is willing to forgive them, we should be willing to forgive them as well. All right, let's go on to our next verse, my friends. Forgive me if I already read this. Therefore, sin must not reign over you, or mortal bodies, so that you obey their desires. Do not present the parts of your bodies to sin as a weapon for wickedness, meaning don't continue on with your old life, right? Present yourself to God as raised from the dead to life, and the parts of your body to God as weapons for righteousness. For sin is not to have any power over you, since you're not under the law, but of grace. And that is true. You're now under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Of course not. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of one you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that although you are slaves of sin, you have become obedient from the heart to the pattern of teaching to which you are entrusted. Freed from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking of human terms because of your nature. For just as you are persecuted, let me read that again. I'm sorry about that. I'm reading under a bad light here. For just as you are presented the parts of your body as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness for lawlessness, so now present them as slaves to righteousness for the sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free from righteousness. But what profits did you get from the things of which you were not ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Now that you have been freed from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefits that you have led sanctification and an end in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, for the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So we know, as I was saying all throughout this chapter, that as Paul was saying, that you walk in sin, it's going to lead you only to your death. And why would you who walk with Christ want to go back to that? You remember how bad it was. You remember how your own actions tore apart your family. Why would you want to go back to that? Walk in the light of Christ. Walk in His light. Be part of Christ. You'll be a better husband. You'll be a better father. For you women, you'll be a better wife. And you'll be a better mother. You want respect from your children? Walk in the obedience of Jesus Christ. Be His. Do not be a slave to the old sin that drove you away a long time ago. The world may tell you to go back to that sin. The enemy may whisper in your ear how fun it was. But he fails to tell you, the enemy, about how miserably you felt. He doesn't tell you that memory, does he? He fails to tell you how your family came apart. He doesn't tell you that one, doesn't he? Because because the enemy, who is the devil, will always tell you a lie, because he wants the same fate that's going to happen to him to happen to you. So, when the devil tries to remind you of your past, remind him of his future. And you know what his future is. His future is the lake of fire. And your future happens to be the kingdom of heaven. Now, Paul talks about we're not under the law anymore. He's not necessarily attacking the law. I know many people assume that when Christ died that the law became a dirty thing. Well, the law was never a dirty thing. As I believe I mentioned this before, I do believe that the children of Israel probably would have been under the new covenant, as we're under right now, if they had not followed the golden calf. Remember in the book of Exodus, when God came to Mount Sinai, and he wanted to gather all the children of Israel towards him, but yet they were afraid of him. So only Moses went up to the Mount Sinai to talk to the Lord. And while up at Mount Sinai, what did the children of Israel do? They built themselves a calf. Because remember, before that, the Lord was telling Moses he was going to make the whole nation into a nation of priests. But afterwards, only the Levite tribe became the priest. And it seemed that what happened was is that they wanted God to rule them like Pharaoh did. So God did rule them on judgment calls, including stoning if someone broke the Sabbath on the Sabbath day, because they wanted God to be the judge and ruler of all this, which if they would have got the new covenant like we have today, they would have been under grace. Okay? But the law didn't really save them anyway, because they only had to do a sin offering, and the sin offering only lasted a full year. And this went for their prophets, it went for everyone who was in Israel, the priests, everyone, which meant that sin still had a hold on them, but they had to get that sin off of them by sacrificing. But when Jesus died upon the cross, he freed everyone from the sacrifice sin, because you didn't have to sacrifice a lamb to say your sin was wiped clean for a year, because all of a sudden, Christ was the last sacrifice. And when you accepted him as your Lord and Savior, what happened? It became you are free forever of this sin. You didn't have to wait a whole year to make a sacrifice sin no more. You're free for the rest of your life from the old sin that you once were. And the Lord never held that against you. We know this as he told the story of the prodigal son, where he told about the father forgiving his youngest son for sinning against him into heaven. That's exactly what the Heavenly Father does. He'll forgive you if you come to him and accept him as your Lord and Savior. And that's exactly what he wants you and I to do. For Jesus, he brought us the new covenant that we're under. We're under grace. This does not mean that we are now legalized sin now. That's okay. Because did Paul say this at all? No. Paul told you and I present ourselves as a resurrected Jesus Christ, which meant we go and sin no more. He didn't say anything about, hey, now we can sin now. Let's break up the keg of beer and let's drink and get drunk. He never said that. He said present ourselves as holy as Christ. And if we're presenting ourselves as holy as Christ, it means that God wants you and I to be a sinless people and walk with him. Christianity is a constant growth. We may stumble here or there over rocks over here and there, but the thing of it is, I'm not talking about accidents that we may do because we did things that were ignorant that we didn't know about that was in Scripture, because I cannot compare that to a man who's going to have an affair in his wife and has this all planned out and even has the hotel room all planned out and he has the motel where he and his mistress is going to be meeting that week to have this affair. That is not a mistake. You are doing that on purpose. I'm talking about something you may not even know that was in the Bible that you kept on doing until you read it one day and you realized, I made a mistake here. And you stopped it. That's what I'm talking about. And with the law, as it says in Scripture, the law is now written in our hearts now, not on tablets. Because the law had a lot of things in there, and they even had things that were civil laws as well. Civil laws we may not understand, like the dietary law. The dietary law had nothing to do with salvation. That was God basically telling them how to eat so they could live healthy. Think about this. Just say if you had a heart, went to your doctor, and the doctor told you about how your veins had all these blockages right in them. Everything was clogged up. And the only way you could stop is to reverse this clog of the arteries is to stop eating pork. You say, okay, I'll stop eating pork. Well, right there, the doctor just gave you a law because he's trying to save your life. So basically, that's what God was trying to do, was trying to help the children of Israel eat healthy if you save their physical body's life so they wouldn't die from bad food that they eat. That's why that all these dietary laws. Also, with women wearing makeup. During that time, when God told women not to wear makeup, the only women who wore makeup were prostitutes. So he didn't want the children of Israel women to be thought of as being a prostitute. So he told them, don't wear any makeup. Does this law apply today? Of course it not, because many women wear makeup today and they are not prostitutes. That was back then. These were civil laws. Salvation laws that God had brought up, like the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not kill, etc., etc., still holds, because these were the salvation laws that you and I live under today, under the new covenant as well, but through our hearts. We now present ourselves like Christ to our Heavenly Father, spiritually free, free from sin, that the sin has no control over us, that we live according to His way. Not forcefully, but through love, because we want to do it. We don't have to have a law saying, you must do it. We're doing it now because we want to do it. We don't want to commit adultery. We do not want to kill somebody. We do not want to bear false witness against our neighbor. We do not want to do all the things that are mentioned in the Ten Commandments and other commandments that are in the Bible that came from Moses. Because God wanted all of us to live an abundant life of freedom through Him. And by freedom through Him means that no more we are slaves under sin. We can never say no more that I tried to do it on my own, that I couldn't do it. But through Christ Jesus, and you gave your heart to Him, He's the only one who could bring you this freedom, who will get you to stop doing what you've been doing. Because you feel that power raging in you, and with that power raging in you, you have no more desire to do that sin that separated you from Him. You are no longer that person who you once were. You are now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are now a new creature in Jesus Christ. And your job here on earth is to tell others the best way you can. Talk to them about Jesus and let them know who Christ Jesus is. Your ministry could be how you live, and people know and see how you lived, and then they want what you have when they see you living for Jesus. If they do that, they may give their hearts up for Jesus as well. And let us pray that they do, because we have no idea how much time do we have on this earth. And only Jesus knows how much time we have, and we want to be with Jesus forever and ever in His kingdom. Because He paid a high price for us 2,000 years ago. He didn't have to do it, but He chose to do it. And He did it. And He died for you and I, so you and I could live. So you and I could be born again and live through Him and be that person who we knew that we could be. Remember, He said He knew us before He was even born. So if He knew us before we were even born, He knew what kind of creature we would be. And I think it saddens him when we reject him because we miss out on that opportunity to becoming that person who he knows we can be. He wants us to be part of his family. He wants to welcome us home. So let us go home and be part of Jesus. And let's live for him and only him and walk with Jesus forever and be a part of his body forever. And let us not walk away and think that we have plenty of time to come back to him later because anything could happen where we could miss the boat. He gave us this message about people who failed to make the boat. Remember the story of the foolish virgin. They thought they had plenty of time to get their oil, and they missed out. And let us not be the men with the less talents who was afraid to go out there and tell people of the Lord. He didn't sell his master's money. And that's the person who was afraid to go out there to tell the people of the Lord because he was afraid. Let us not be afraid to tell others of the Lord. For Jesus says, if we are ashamed of him upon the earth, he'll be ashamed of us before the Heavenly Father. And Jesus was talking to those in a message in the Bible that he had 2,000 years ago. He wanted you and I who accepted him as our Lord and Savior. That message is not for the person who does not believe, because the person who does not believe isn't a part of it anyway. But we who say we do believe, if we act ashamed of him, he will be ashamed of us during Judgment Day or even right now before the Father because we're not bearing any fruits. We're bearing thistles and thorns. So let us do as Paul wrote here. Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write in this letter in chapter 6. And let us live according to this. Let's walk in righteousness. Let's be a slave to righteousness because that slavery means we're free from everything because we're now part of the house of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven is a king, and we are his children. Our Father is a king, I said, and we should act like his children. Let's act like children of the king. Let's act the way Jesus did upon the earth because he showed what a child of the king should act like when he walked upon this earth. Let us do the same. And that's exactly what Paul was saying. Let us present ourselves this way, and that will be pleasing to our Heavenly Father. My friends, let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for today. We pray, Lord, that this message got across to whoever needed to hear this message, Lord Jesus Christ. May them help them grow in you. May those who did not know you repent and come to you and follow you, Lord Jesus Christ. For we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. My friends, I'd like to thank you all for calling in this afternoon. I'd like to thank you all who are going to be listening to this program and downloading this program later on for listening. Thank you very much. My friends, remember the event I told you about was going to happen in Litchfield, Kentucky. Be from 9 a.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Central Time in Litchfield, Kentucky at the Amplis Theater, which is close to the new courthouse, which is in Litchfield. And remember, my friends, a great revival is going to go on right there, so come join the revival. If you are saved already, come and be revived by the Lord and feel His Holy Spirit revive you when you come to this event. If you do not know the Lord and want to know Him, come to this event. Don't be afraid. If you're feeling God is calling you, come and come here. The name of the Lord preached, and open up to him that day and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. My friends, I'd like to say good afternoon. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless your lives. I say this all in the name of Jesus. Goodbye, my friends, until we meet again on Thursday. And may the Lord Jesus Christ always bless your lives. In Jesus' name, amen.